Mmm, the first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Hey guys, you're listening to the most captivating podcast in iTunes. That's right, the Elite Man Podcast, where we turn average men into elite men every day. We interview the very best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and even entrepreneurial worlds. And with their help, we give you some of the best advice on the planet. Subscribe now if you haven't already and enjoy the show. And oh yeah, if you really enjoy it, leave us a review.
On today's episode, episode number 67, entitled Overcoming Relationship Issues, we chat with Rachel Mohaben.
All right, guys, we're live. It's Justin Stenstrom from EliteManMagazine.com, and my guest today is Rachel Mohaben. Rachel, how you doing?
Hi, Justin. Thank you for having me on your podcast show.
Oh, I'm really delighted to have you on. It's a pleasure of mine, Rachel. We collaborated in the past about a month or two ago on a good relationship post, and I had you on as one of the guest experts. So I wanted to follow up. Yeah, because I loved your advice on that. I wanted to follow up and get you on the show as well.
Thank you so much. Yes, your articles are wonderful, and I think they provide great value. So it's always nice to get my two cents in there too.
Yeah. So Rachel, you're a licensed clinical social worker. You work primarily with couples. You're also a relationship expert. And today I wanted to really cover some of the biggest relationship issues that happen in relationships. And this is obviously a podcast mostly for men. So I want to kind of gear it towards some of the issues that men might face. And I know you have like four or five, whatever, really great topics that you want to kind of tackle today. Is that right?
Yes. I have four major issues that come up in relationships. And, you know, yeah, and you don't necessarily have to be married. I mean, it comes up in any relationship, but definitely with your partner, people stumble on these issues. They're pretty big mm-hmm. and they're common. So
awesome. Yeah, so I'd love to get your take on these and really just kind of and jump right into it. So what's like the number one biggest relationship issue that you see, and how do you fix this?
Okay, so I say the biggest one, and most of my couples come in, and no matter what, we're always going to work on this, and that's communication, because mm-hmm. all relationship problems are stemming from poor communication. And, you know, surprisingly, the majority of problems or arguments that you and your partner are experiencing, it doesn't really demand problem solving. So when you are talking with your partner, you want to put all the relevant facts and feelings on the table because you want to work together as a team and be clear on what you're upset about. And when you see the other person's reality and you can respect each other's point of view, you see it as a way to enrich your own. And a lot of times when I'm working with couples in my practice, I have a private practice in New York City. A lot of times they both have very different subjective experiences. And one of the goals mm-hmm. is to say, okay, so this is your reality. What is your reality, you know, to the other partner, so that they start to hear each other's different realities and then come together and work through whatever the issue is. You know, so that's a really important part of communication. But one of the ways in which you can work through it, and this is where the male-female issue comes in, is you want to be very cognizant of your partner's problem-solving issue, right? And of mm-hmm. course, men, you know, they have to fight that temptation because they want to help by fixing the problem. And then, of course, women are more inclined to say, let's talk about our feelings and process. And it's so funny because so many of my male clients are like, I can't hear her vent anymore, you know, and then my female clients laugh because they're like, but I just want to talk about this. And they have to talk about it over and over again. So I think it's more, you know, processing. Of course, you don't want to keep venting. There's got to be boundaries around that for the female, but it is important to process and learn as much as you can from what's going on, as opposed to just quickly solving that problem.
Mm-hmm. So I guess it sort of does align more with the female take on things, where guys want to just kind of find the quick solution. It's not really a quick solution. It's more about getting everything out there and sort of venting. That's sort of the healthy approach to it.
Yes, definitely the healthy approach. And when you do start to discuss issues, a great strategy to use, and this is important for all the men out there too, is that when Warren Fallon talks about how when we're in the honeymoon phase of a relationship, the ratio of positive to negative comments tends to be 100 to 1. Right? And this is why it's called the honeymoon phase, because all you can do is see the wonderful traits of your partner. But then after some time, you know, the couple has to keep that proportion of positives to negatives 4 to 1 if they want to maintain positive feelings for each other. So you asked how we can work through some of this communication. So you want to understand your partner's style and, of course, process together. But then also when you're ready to talk, and say you want to tackle an issue or you want to say how you feel about something and you're walking on eggshells, you want to make sure that when you start the discussion, you use something called positive warm-ups. So we get into this habit of sharing what doesn't work, but we want to focus regularly on what does work, right? So that our partner can feel safe enough and appreciated enough to want to change in a more positive direction. So you want to tell your partner, you want them to feel good about themselves when you're starting a discussion, any kind of communication session, by sharing one or two positive warm-ups. So one positive warm-up is, one of the things I like best about you, one of the things I admire about you, you know, I love you most when you, and then you establish this atmosphere of mutual appreciation, and then you can start your conversation.
So rather than, is this like, say, for like an argument or something, or just a regular conversation, rather than starting off on an argument, you want to be like positive first and give them sort of like a compliment?
Yeah. You want to just establish this positive, you know, just vibe, you know, and not like, say you want to, you're upset about something. And instead of it coming, you know, you're thinking, God, I really want to criticize something, or I want to give some feedback on something I didn't like, you know, for either things are starting to get contentious. It's good to say, well, you know, to balance the positive with the negative. Yeah, I really like that you're like this, but this happened and it really upset me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It's sort of like just setting it up and putting the conversation in the right direction rather than going negative from the get-go, and then from there it only goes downhill.
Exactly, which can happen very rapidly, by the way.
Yeah.
Things can escalate, and then what happens, Justin, is that fight takes on a life of its own, right? And then you even forget what you were upset about because you're so caught up in how, you know, what was said and whatever anger that took place, you know, whatever the fight was.
Yeah, I remember every once in a while, like just in past relationships, whatever I've been in, it's like you're arguing about something for so long, it's like it takes so much energy out of you. But like an hour or whatever later, half hour later, it's like, I don't even remember what we started this argument from.
Exactly. That happens all the time. Why am I even upset? You know, because whatever happened, then you get caught up in that and distracted by it. And you always want to just stay focused on, okay, what are we really upset about here? You know, so.
That's interesting. And what was the ratio again? You said it was like 100 to 1 at first, positive to negative, and then you want to try to maintain it to be a 4 to 1.
Exactly. If couples are to maintain positive feelings for each other.
Okay.
And of course, it's much easier said than done. But, you know, we get into this habit, again, of what's not working. And we want to focus on, you know, I appreciate you. This is why we're together. But this is what I don't appreciate. And then that balance just motivates people to want to work things through or talk about it or make positive changes.
Awesome. Rachel, tip number two, what's that for men?
So tip number two that comes up a lot is anger. And anger is a healthy emotion, but it's important to be able to recognize when it can become destructive in your relationship. And you want to channel your anger towards making it work for you in your relationship. So you want to become familiar with your style and exactly what happens to you during an episode of anger. So how do you express your anger? How does it manifest in your relationship? Are you passive aggressive? Are you sarcastic? Are you hostile? Or you just aggressive, right? So you want to become more familiar with the way you express your anger and pay as much attention as you can to the reaction of others, you know, of course, your partner. And then once you become more in touch with your style of anger, this is a wonderful strategy to use. And it's called the timeout strategy. It's a very effective way to maintain healthy boundaries. So say things are starting to escalate and you're starting to lose it in the relationship in whatever way you're getting angry or you want to shut down or however you express your anger. You want to first establish a ground rule in your relationship, and you want to agree with your partner that you have this established timeout ground rule in your relationship. And what that means is when things escalate, you say to your partner, let's have a timeout. And there's a signal. You want to agree on a specific signal of what will mean the timeout or a pause for the two of you. And you can choose certain signals that are unique to you and your partner. Like one of my couples used the word, let's go, you know, they would say, let's go get a hamburger whenever they would get really angry at each other. And then the whole point, the premise of this timeout strategy is let's cool down. And then the person who calls that timeout needs to be very specific with setting the time to talk at a later time. So for example, let's call a timeout, whatever the signal is. And then you want to say, let's talk again in an hour, or maybe if they're really upset about it, let me process this for a day. And tomorrow at in the afternoon or whatever evening, let's discuss this. So it's a really good way to de-escalate and then to make sure that you are communicating and working through whatever issues you have.
Yeah, I love this one. I use this timeout strategy right now in my own relationship. Whenever I see an argument, me and my girlfriend are like coming on and we're both heated, we're getting really mad at each other before we can really, I mean, sometimes it'll get to the point where like we sort of have lost that point of taking a timeout or maybe gone too far. I mean, you can always take a timeout, but maybe we should have taken it before. But we try to actually always do this whenever we see like an argument coming on and we can stop it in its tracks really by doing it. It's just either taking half hour or an hour away and just cooling off, watching TV or something, going, you know, just to separate rooms and just chilling for a little bit. It really does work to make cooler heads prevail.
Yeah, it does. And what's good about this strategy is that you know that you're going to come back and talk about whatever happened. You just want to be ready. You want to cool down. You have so many couples that I see, you know, the woman or the man is complaining about, you know, it goes under the rug. You know, nothing gets resolved because you get upset and then you forget about it and then you never talk about it again. But you know, with this strategy, you are going to work through it just when you're both ready to do so.
Exactly. And you really don't accomplish much when you're angry or arguing or fighting or being nasty or anything like that. It's just you only accomplish stuff, I think, when you're in a positive state of mind. Even if you're mad about something or if you know you're not happy about whatever direction or something that happened, you can always work through it. Whether it's you know, something that you want to happen or something that, you know, you really can't help, but it's going to, I mean, you're going to resolve it either way, whether it works out, you know, in the way you wanted it to or something had come up and it's not good for your relationship, but at least you'll figure it out when you're in the right state of mind.
Exactly. And people appreciate that. You know, even if you come back and you say, I thought about things and this is my issue, or this is what you did and you know it triggers me, or whatever it is, because you're calmer. So, you know, you're not going to get caught up in the trigger or acting out.
All right, guys, I think it's the perfect time to take a quick break from the episode to remind you to subscribe to our show. By subscribing, you get every single episode completely free. That's right, get all of our best interviews with the best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and entrepreneurial worlds absolutely free. Don't miss out on any one of our captivating and exciting episodes. Subscribe now and get all of the Elite Man podcast anytime and anywhere. And yes, if you get a chance, leave us a glowing review about how much you love the show and how awesome we are. Okay, guys, back to the episode now. Rachel, what's step number or tip number three, I should say?
Okay. Well, the third major issue that comes up in relationships, and I'll give you the tip, is money issues. Money issues is huge and requires a lot of time and attention. So and not all couples have money issues, but it is a major issue that comes up. And the way I like to work with money issues in with my couples is discussing their money history and philosophy together is important, right? So you want to first understand your own respective relationships with money. You want to have a conversation about it completely apart from whatever financial conflict you're having. So it's important for your partner to know, what is your money type? You want to understand what your money type is. And so we have different money types. And for the sake of time, I'll just talk about the two major money types, the spender and the hoarder. And what's important is you want to understand, why are you a spender? You know, was your childhood of affluence maybe teaching you that money would always be in abundance, or the opposite, or for the hoarder, you know, was there some kind of job loss that taught you that money is a dwindling resource? So you want to try to understand your partner and their money type. And then you want to try to bring your partner closer as you resolve money issues, right? So one of the things I like to do when my couples have very different spending habits is have them give each other assignments, or even they can create any kind of assignment, like a new action, attitude, or behavior that's going to move you closer to your partner's style of spending. So, for example, an assignment for spenders is once a week, deposit a certain amount of money in your savings account. And then you want to decide on the amount of money that feels right to you and just stick to that decision. Right? Mm-hmm. So that you try to eliminate one impulsive purchase or shopping and then put that in the savings account, for example, or an assignment for hoarders. Those who have they have difficulty spending money, is once a week or once a month, purchase a small item for yourself or a loved one that you wouldn't ordinarily allow yourself to buy. And then you want to write a list of these assignments and tell your partner about it. And you want to do these assignments maybe once every 2 weeks or once a month or however it feels right to you as a couple. But you want to start working on it on this cognitive level. And I find that that helps a lot.
Now, is this only for couples who are opposite, like one may be a hoarder and the other is a spender?
I'm going to say that is when that creates a lot of money issues, when they are coming from opposing places, from very different places. But I mean, you can have a different money type, but I would say these are the two most common. So yeah, I mean, if you have another type, I don't know, usually it's more of the spender and the hoarder that have more difficulties. Like one likes to spend more, one likes to save more. Okay. And they're not necessarily hoarders. They just, maybe they're better savers, right? I'm just using the extreme.
And this is just a good way for them to sort of compromise and meet in the middle.
Exactly. So you want to just borrow, you know, move closer to your partner's style, whatever their style of spending is, by creating a new action, attitude, or behavior, little steps that's going to move you closer to the way they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Giving up who you are or the way you are, but just one step. step in their direction, they move one step in your direction, and then you start to work through whatever financial issues you have.
Yeah, I agree. I think money is the root cause of a lot of stress and a lot of conflict in relationships. So I think just being able to compromise with your partner, if she is a little different or he is a little different, it certainly makes up a lot and can resolve a lot of those issues.
Yeah, and I have to say, money issues can destroy relationships. They really can. So you have to be on top of them and work through them together. It needs time and attention. I mean, everything does, but this is very important, big issue in relationships.
Do you think before, say, beginning a long-term relationship, you should really figure out if you are, say, compatible with someone, I mean, in the money aspect, not like they have a comparable amount of money to you or anything like that, but I mean like your values towards money. Do you think it's that big of an issue where it could lead to?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's funny because I do a lot of work with singles too. I work with relationship issues as a whole. And a lot of my singles that meet people, you know, they're very cognizant about the way their partner spends money, and they get they try to become more and more aware, and we work together on this, on how does this person spend money, and then have those money talks to make sure that they have the same value system.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or they can work towards it, and whatever differences they have in money can be worked through.
Yeah, I agree. I think if the money issue is just totally on the polar opposite ends before getting on a long-term relationship, it might not be smart to really jump into that.
I agree. And if you really want to be together, you have to make sure that you talk about and use as much prevention and work through how you're going to do things, you know, in the future. It's important to talk about it as much as you can.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Rachel, what is tip number 4?
Okay. So, we weren't going to end this without talking about one major, major issue that comes up, and I'm even going to give you statistics around it. Awesome. And that is sex. Okay. Intimacy is very important, and it can become an issue, right? Because it does function to create and deepen intimacy, reinforce the intimacy, and it's used as a tension reducer to deal with stresses in life. And lack of sex in a relationship can rob the couple of special feelings and intimate connections. Now, there are some couples where sex is not a big deal because they're not both partners are not that sexual, so it's not so important, but the emotional intimacy is. But I'm talking about for couples, maybe one has a stronger libido, or, you know, they just get all caught up in responsibilities of life once they move forward, like with children or a demanding career. So it is very important, and it does become a major problem that affects many couples as time goes on, right? So, for example, and I said I was going to give you statistics, approximately 20%, and that's 1 in 5 married couples, have a no-sex relationship. Uh-huh. And an additional 15% of married couples have a low-sex relationship. And 1 in 3 non-married couples who have been together more than 2 years have a no-sex relationship. And, you know, this is the same if you're younger, if you're older, whatever class you come, whatever it is, it doesn't discriminate. These are actual statistics. So it is very important that you make sure that your intimacy is consistent and you both partners pay attention to it.
Just to clarify the statistics, it's 20% no sex for married, 15 low sex married, and 33% no sex for not married, or is it just low and no sex combined?
It's 1 in 3 if you're not married who have been together for more than 2 years have a no sex relationship.
Wow, that seems really high, but
it is high. It is high. Yeah, and I think that, you know, I work with a lot of couples. They're not married, right? But, and they've been together for two or more years, and they have to spend a lot of time processing, you know, making efforts to make sure that they keep their intimacy alive, that spark alive.
Mm-hmm. And how do you keep that interest, that spark alive?
So this is a really good strategy, and I call it intimacy dates. And what happens with a lot of couples is they feel like love has been lost after the romantic stage of their relationship, right? You move into this comfort stage. So of course your intimacy isn't going to be as much as it was in the, you know, the first 3 to 24 months of your relationship, right? Mm-hmm. But what's important is you and your partner want to constantly revive and restore the flames of passion, right? And you want to make sure that you have intimacy dates. And so the way intimacy dates work is you want to establish, of course, this rule in your relationship. Let's agree that we have a weekly intimacy date. And it doesn't necessarily have to lead to sex, but it's just, let's make sure that we carve out the time, especially if we have children or demanding careers, we don't live as close as we'd like to, that we're going to make this a priority, that we're going to have and schedule a date night once a week. And we're going to mark it in pen in our calendars, right? And then we want to experiment with different types of dates. You know, they can be formal, they can be informal. You can have an equally meaningful intimacy date at home as long as there are no distractions. You don't have to spend money. Whatever it is that you both do, and you can change every week. Like one partner can say, you know, let's go out and have a romantic dinner, and another can say, let's have a romantic dinner at home, whatever you want to do. But you have to make that sacred and make sure that you are focusing on your partner and that this is date night and whatever leads into, wonderful. But it's important to pay close attention to that. And then you can share and evaluate with your partner. Do we like this? Was it fun? You know, there are certain types of dates that I didn't like. There are certain dates that I did. And what is most productive towards building your intimacy?
Mm-hmm.
And make sure that you continue this on a consistent basis. That's what's important, making sure the momentum is there.
Yeah, I like the idea of that, just separating, putting away some time each week or whenever you want to decide to do it, to really just get together and spend quality, intimate time together. And if that leads to sex, then awesome. If it doesn't, you know, no pressure. You don't have to say that this is our sex night and we're going to have sex every Saturday or whatever. But I mean, setting aside that quality time to be together, I think is important.
Yes, absolutely. It is very important. And even, you know, say again, couples get caught up, and a lot of couples will come back to me and they'll say, I couldn't have a date night this week, but we're going to make up for it. You know, just as long as there is attention and focus on your partner and making sure that the intimacy stays alive. That's what's key.
Is the intimacy, the sex, going to naturally kind of dwindle down as the relationship goes on? Or is it, I mean, I think that's kind of just a natural sort of approach on life, right? Like how life works.
Absolutely.
Naturally.
Which is why those statistics, why I read you those statistics, because that's naturally what happens. And so you have to make sure that you're focusing on constantly making sure that it doesn't die down and that you are making sure it's consistent in your relationship.
What is just kind of like a ballpark rough number for a good healthy sex life? Like how frequent should a couple or should couples be having sex roughly?
You know, it's a good question. And I have so many couples have different ideas about it. Some couples feel once a week is good. Some of my couples feel like once a month is fine with them, you know, depending on how long they're together. I think it's more about you have to make sure that you're on the same page as your partner. You know, and if one partner, say, needs the intimacy and wants to be physical two or three times a week, that's very important for him or her. You have to compromise around it. It may not be as important for you. You know, then you have to find something that makes the two of you feel most comfortable.
Mm-hmm. And if there is like a difference in say the desire for frequency of sex, like how do you fix that? How do both parties find happiness in that? If one person wants to have sex, say once a week or once every couple weeks, and the other person wants it 2 to 3 times a week.
You know, it's funny because I have a couple I'm working with right now, and you know, the female isn't as sexual as the male, and he really needs sex, and it hurts their relationship. And I think, again, you have to make compromises, and you do have to make sure you are making your partner happy without, of course, doing. But if you love your partner, then you do want to do that. So you have to find out, okay, what's romantic for me? And how do I get my partner to do this so that we can make space so that my partner is satisfied and that I can be satisfied too?
Mm-hmm.
Did that answer your question?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, it comes up a lot. It comes up because not everybody has the same sex drive. So it comes up a lot, and it's important if one partner does have a stronger sex drive and the other doesn't, that you make those compromises. And that you make sure you satisfy your partner.
Awesome.
No, I'm saying without giving up yourself in a way, but making sure that it's good and you're happy. You're both feeling fulfilled.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Rachel, I understand you have a giveaway for our audience of some sort. Would you like to mention that?
Yeah, I have a 5-day communication challenge, and it's filled with some amazing information. The number one reason why you don't feel heard by your partner and how to fix it, 5 key ways that you can actually enjoy each other again if you're feeling disconnected after an argument, ways to cool down after you have a massive argument, you know, just how to basically not feel like you're walking on eggshells with your partner when it comes to communication. So it's a wonderful freebie. And actually, I don't know if anybody's writing this down, it's kind of long, but it's a relationship suite, SUITE. Is spelled suite. That's my website, relationshipsuite, SUITE, leadpages.co/communication. That's a lot, but hopefully, Austin, you can put that in your notes, that link, and then they can access that free gift.
Yeah, don't worry. I'll add that into the show notes, guys. So don't, if you can't write that down or remember it, don't worry. Just click on the show notes and we'll.
Sorry, guys, that was a mouthful.
we'll have the link to that awesome 5-day communication challenge. Rachel, is there any last takeaway message or send off you'd like to leave our audience?
I think what's important is just to make sure that you are constantly communicating with your partner and you're focusing on what makes the two of you happy and what's fulfilling, and making sure that you don't shut down. Talking to your partner, what's upsetting you, what's, you know, what you're needing, and assert your needs, and just constantly make sure that you're keeping the intimacy alive.
Sounds great. Rachel, it's been a really awesome and helpful interview. I know our guys are really going to love this. So thanks again for coming on, and take care.
Thank you so much, Justin. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, guys. I hope you enjoyed that episode. But before you go, there's one last thing I need you to do. I need you to subscribe to this podcast right now if you haven't already. By subscribing, you get every single episode completely free. That's right, get all of our best interviews with the best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and entrepreneurial worlds absolutely free. Don't miss out on any one of our captivating and exciting shows. Subscribe now and get the Elite Man podcast anytime and anywhere. And yes, if you get a chance, leave us a glowing review about how much you love the show and how awesome we are. All right, guys, that's it. Until next time, take care.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at caskers.com.